Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Today, we're doing praying for each other. I was thinking about this week, obviously, otherwise I shouldn't really be here talking. I was thinking about this week, and there was a particular passage that popped into my head, and it wasn't really on my notes. It wasn't really what I was planning to talk about or where I was planning to start. But you know, when you can't shake something, so here's where we're starting today. There is an incident in the life of Jesus that when we teach our children to be like Jesus, we don't tell them this story. This is the story we leave out. Yeah, we don't tell them the story where Jesus stamps into the temple, starts kicking tables over and whipping people. We don't tell the children that story. Be like Jesus. Just trash everything. We do not say that. We leave this story out. But this is the story I want to remind us of this morning, because Jesus walks into the temple and he sees all of these traders and all of these people who have taken up space in the temple where people would normally be worshiping. So where the Gentiles would, where you and I would be, were we living in that time, the parts of the temple that we would be in is where these traders have set up all of their stalls. Now remember when, in those times when you came to the temple, you would bring a sacrifice for different reasons. It may be pigeons, it may be a sheep, it may be whatever. You may bring a sacrifice. But of course it got to the point where people thought, oh, I don't want to travel all that far carrying a sheep. When I get to the temple, I'm just going to buy one there. Because that's what these traders had done. They'd set up this business where they could sell you animals that they called temple-approved animals. So you didn't have to worry about, is this right or is this not right? Ooh, does this sheep have a blemish? I can't be bothered searching my sheep for blemishes. This is definitely a temple-approved animal, so I don't have to do all of the work. I can just buy this animal, and then that will be fine. And the temple traders were making money off people who were coming to offer their sacrifices to Jesus and to worship. And so this is where Jesus comes in, really loses it with the traders, kicks stuff over. It'd be great to see this live, wouldn't it? Kicks tables over, chases people out. But it's the sentence that he says that I really want to hone in on. He says, "My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." My house should be called a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was quoting Isaiah 56, verse 7, talks about God talking about his house being a house of prayer for all nations. My house should be called a house of prayer. This place should be called a house of prayer. Prayer should be something that is natural to us and that we should expect to happen when we gather together, because that's what this is about. It is interesting that Jesus did not say, as important as it is, he didn't say, my house should be called a house of worship, or my house should be called a house of teaching, or my house should be called a house of community and fellowship together. All of those things, incredibly important as believers. He said, my house should be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And that's one of the reasons why prayer is important. But of course, as what happens when I'm thinking about these things, something else happened in my head. And I was personally challenged by this. Now, if Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and then there's a verse in Corinthians that says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then what happens if you are a house? You should be called a house of prayer. And then I'm thinking this about myself. I should be a house of prayer because God lives in me. My life should be a house of prayer. But actually, what happens sometimes is convenience comes in. Convenience. It's easier to do other things. Or there's a distraction happening in me. There's all these traders doing stuff in me, trying to make things easier for me, trying to take up space in my life where actually prayer should be. And sometimes I think Jesus needs to come along in me and kick the tables over in me and chase the traitors out in me, because in me I've allowed too much distraction or too much fear or too much sense of convenience to take over inside of me, when actually what I should be is a house of prayer. And that's what you should be, a house of prayer. And so we need to examine our lives in a way that says, Jesus, what is happening in me? Is there stuff in me that takes away my attention from you, my attention from the things I should be focusing on? When something happens, who do I turn to first? Where do I turn to first? Is it a sense of, God, I need your help? Or is it, I'm going to sort this out, I'm going to speak to that person, I'm going to get this done? Are we living in such a way where we are communicating with God on a regular basis as little houses of prayer, or have we allowed lots of other things to come in and take the place of prayer in our lives? Luke chapter 9, verse 28. After Jesus said these things, he says, he took with him Peter, John, and James, who went up onto the mountain to pray. Jesus took three of his disciples, and he went to a different place to pray. He gathered people around him to pray. He took them aside to pray. And I have said this many times when I've stood at the front here with a microphone, but I will say it again. If it is good enough for Jesus, it is good enough for us. If Jesus gathered other people around him to pray with him, then we can gather other people around us to pray with us. Little houses of prayer coming together to make a bigger house of prayer. We are expected to pray for each other. We are expected to pray with each other. And there are five words that I want to, well, there's six really, but the sixth one is a surprise. There are five words that I just want to highlight to do with the issue of praying together, that will help us think about how blessed we are that we get to do this. We get to do this. Well, I'm excited by it. Yeah, thanks. I don't need you patronizing me, thanks. The first word is this, unity. Unity. When we join together and bring something to God together, there is such an incredible sense of unity. When we join together here and we pray for people across the world that we don't know, that we've never met before and probably will never meet, but who are struggling in a situation where there's a flood or something's happened, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, what an incredible sense of unity. God's body coming together to support and encourage each other. Corporate prayer carries with it an incredible sense of unity, of us being together, praying for each other, and praying for things across the world. There's also a sense of collaboration. What do I mean by collaboration? That we're collaborating with each other? Well, no. This is what I mean by collaboration. Do we really think that Jesus needs us to make stuff happen? Do we really think that that is the case? That he, unless we pray, that he can't do anything? Do we really think that that is the case? No, it isn't the case. But actually, Jesus chooses to allow us to enter into a collaboration, enter into connection with him, so that we're working with him. He allows that to happen so that we have that sense of, we are part of something that's bigger than who we are. We have that sense of, oh my word, I'm working with the Holy Spirit. I'm working with Jesus. This is such an incredible opportunity. He allows that sense of collaboration so that we have that sense of connection to him. Does God need us to make stuff happen? Not really, but he invites us into that process. He invites us into that process. And we have an incredible opportunity to collaborate with what God is doing when we come together to pray. Encouragement is another word. These aren't points. These are just words. Points are coming later. Encouragement is another word. If I said, put your hand up if someone prayed for you and you were encouraged, I'd be surprised if everybody didn't put their hand up at some point. It brings such encouragement to us to know that someone else is praying for us. Whether that be in the moment or whether someone sends you a text message and says, hey, I understand what you're going through. I am praying for you. It brings incredible encouragement to us. And it also brings incredible encouragement to us when we've gone through the collaboration, we've gone through that moment where we felt like God and I are working together on this. I get to pray and God gets to do something. And then God answers the prayer. What incredible encouragement that is. We were part of that process. We were part of that moment where we brought something to God and God responded to us. Incredible. I'm getting excited. I'm going to calm down. Connection. When we pray for each other, we have an opportunity to build connections with each other. It's an opportunity for us to be honest with each other. Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to say, hey, can you pray for X, Y, Z? Can you pray for me? Listen, asking for prayer is a bit vulnerable sometimes because we're acknowledging that there's something in our lives or in our circumstances or something happening that we actually can't do ourselves and we need help. And that is difficult for some people to do. It's difficult sometimes for us to say, I need help. And then asking for prayer can be the same kind of thing where we were a little bit precious about it, a little bit nervous about asking for prayer because it is vulnerable. But what an opportunity to have an honest connection with a brother or a sister in Christ to say, can you pray for this for me, please? Incredible opportunity for connection. Nearly at the end of my words. Growth. Growth. We get stronger when we pray. We get stronger when we pray. We get stronger when we pray for others. We get stronger when other people pray for us. It is an opportunity to grow. Opportunity to grow in our connection to Jesus and in our understanding of who he is and who he has called us to. There's another word, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. Acts chapter 4. This is an incident that happens in the book of Acts. So what happened is Peter and John, as apostles, they had healed a man, prayed for him, they healed him, and the whole city is in uproar because what is going on? This guy definitely was lame because he used to sit outside the temple. Everybody knew this guy. They'd see him as they walked past him into the temple. And then you probably know the story where he reaches out to kind of ask for stuff. And Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And this guy walks. Amazing miracle. It's fascinating that it was somebody who sat outside the temple. And so everyone going into the temple and out of the temple would have seen this man. And so he would have been known. So this guy's walking around. The city is in uproar. The officials call Peter and John in. And they have a big conversation because they want to calm the city down. They want to take control of the situation. And so they have this conversation with Peter and John saying, what is going on? Peter explains, you know, this same Jesus who you crucified, it is by his power that this guy is able to walk again. And so they confer and they say to Peter, we want you to stop preaching this Jesus. We want you to stop doing that. And Peter says, well, hey, here's the thing. You decide whether we should listen to you or whether we should listen to God. You decide. But we're gonna carry on. So they carry on warning them, and then they set them free. So this whole thing has happened, big drama has happened. Peter and John return to the believers, says this in verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So they've come back to the group of believers. It's a bit like something happens to one of you. You come back to church, you share it with us, and then we pray. They raise their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your Holy Spirit, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, all of this stuff is prayer. Now they're bringing their stuff, their request to God. Up to this point, they've just talked about who God is, the amazing stuff that he has done, and the fact that Jesus lived, died, and rose again was all part of God's plan. That's the first chunk of the prayer. Yeah? Here's their request. Now, Lord, consider their threats and set us free. Keep us from persecution. Stop them from threatening us or saying horrible things to us. Set us free from this so that we may live in peace and harmony and have a good time. That is not what they said. Yeah, you will notice because it's on the screen. This is their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were faced with a difficult situation where threats were made against them. They didn't pray that the threats would go away. They didn't pray for miraculous deliverance. They didn't pray that somehow things would work out. They prayed for boldness to continue to speak. That is so challenging to me. They prayed for boldness to continue to speak. And that's the last word that I wanted to point out to you. When we gather to pray, there is power. There is power in praying with each other and for each other. So they prayed for boldness to speak. Their prayers were answered and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they spoke God's word boldly. And I thought this. We are here because these guys spread the word of God, right? We are. The church of God is alive and well because the disciples were the people who heard what God said and they did what God said. Now, what would have happened if at this point they prayed for miraculous deliverance instead of the Spirit enabling them to speak boldly? What if they didn't pray and they just listened to the threats and they thought, you know what, we're gonna have to be careful about the things that we say. We're going to have to go a bit underground. Would we be here today? Would the church be where it is today if these men, if these women who gathered together did not hear something and pray for each other and believe that God would give them the power that they needed to move forward? Would we be here today? And here's the thing. We don't know what happens when we gather here and when we pray together. Of course, there are situations that, you know, someone may say, there's something happening in work. Can you pray for me? Brilliant. We can see the results of that. But we actually don't know all of the results of what happens when we meet here and we pray together. We don't see all of the results. But God does. And that's that sense of collaboration that we have, that we are working in collaboration with the Holy Spirit for a much bigger and wider picture. For this passage, Mark Buchanan, who wrote a book called The Rest of God, he says this. If you're in the midst of a situation where, as you pray, you're putting the problem first, then you're starting where you should end. If you're in the midst of a situation where, as you pray, you're putting the problem first, you're starting where you should end. You're rehearsing the problem, making it seem larger than it is, when what you need to do is rehearse God's greatness and bigness. Then the problem shrinks to its right proportions. They came to God with this issue, but actually you wouldn't know that they'd come to God with this issue until right at the end of the prayer. Because all the stuff at the beginning was about who God is and how great he is and what he has done. And so there is power in praying together. There is power in praying together. I know that you know this, but I want to make sure that we all know this. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give some practical ideas. Yeah, I'm going to give you some reasons why I don't like praying with other people. Well, not I don't like praying, why I haven't prayed with other people before in the past. It's great for somebody, leader, to stand at the front and say, here are all the reasons why I don't like praying. That's not what I meant. Why I haven't prayed with other people in the past. And then I'll give you some kind of practical thoughts on how we can maybe work a little bit stronger on this. And these are all actual reasons. I've not made any of these up. These are actual reasons why I haven't prayed with people in the past. Number one, I will not sound as impressive as they sound. I won't sound as impressive as they sound. I've heard people pray, and they sound like they descended from heaven this morning. And they're just here for 20 minutes. They're going to pray, and then they're going to go back up to heaven for the rest of the day. Yeah? They sound like they just are in a continual conversation with Jesus. They just sound incredible. And I know that when I pray, I am not going to sound like that. I'm going to sound ridiculous and weedy, and people will probably start questioning if I even know Jesus at all. So I don't want to pray out loud. Definitely can't pray for that long. Yeah? I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer meeting where someone prays and you're like, I guess there's no time for the rest of us now. Where people, it's just a flow. It is a flow. And then it's a flow. It's a flow. And I think, I do want to pray for stuff. I've got two sentences. And now I can't really say my two sentences because that just sounds silly. Because they've just prayed this amazing prayer that went on for 25 minutes. And I'm going to pray for 3 seconds. And comparatively, it's just going to be a bit daft. So I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to say anything. Too nervous. I know I should pray, but I'm too nervous. I am naturally a shy person. I know you find that hilarious. I am naturally a shy person. I'm fine stood in front of you, and I'm fine stood in front. If I'm stood in front of people, I'm okay because I can make myself do that. But on a one-to-one conversation with someone I don't know, I am awkward, absolutely awkward. And so in a situation where I was a young person in a prayer meeting where I didn't know everyone very well, and, you know, we stood in a circle, and we were praying in a circle, and we were going around, it was coming to me. Oh, yes, it was coming to me. I could see it coming to me. And I was not listening to anything anyone was saying. I wasn't concentrating on God. I wasn't thinking about heaven or Jesus or anything. I was thinking, in a minute, it's going to be my turn, and I do not want to do this. I don't want to do this. I am too shy and too embarrassed. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And eventually, it was my turn, and I had to do it. I didn't have to do it, but I felt silly not doing it. So I've been there in those circles, in the circle of prayer. Oh, man, the circle of prayer. I've been there. Listen, there isn't an expectation on you. I just want to make this very clear. There isn't an expectation on anyone in this room to pray out loud. There isn't an expectation. If you do not want to pray out loud, you do not have to pray out loud. I am not making a note. Nobody comes to me at the end of the meeting and says, you know, today John did not pray out loud. And I write it down in a little book. It doesn't happen. There is no expectation for you to pray out loud. However, it would be good for you to pray out loud. There's no expectation for you to do it, but it would be good for you to do it. One of the words I talked about on the board was growth. It would be good for you to do it. But there is no expectation or any pressure. Please do not feel any pressure to pray out loud. all of those genuine reasons are reasons why I would struggle with the idea of praying in a group or praying out loud in church. But guess what happens? At some point, just like when you're in a congregation where people raise their hands, yeah, in worship, you're like, what is that? What are people raising their hands for? Why are they doing that? And then you understand that raising your hands is a sign of surrender, a sign of, yes, God, I need you. And you think, oh, I want to do that, but I don't want to do it because everyone will look at me. Yeah, that's what we think. Well, that's certainly what I thought. Everyone will look at me. Because clearly, it is all about me. Everyone will look at me, and I'll have my hands in the air. And so you start off slowly. Maybe you just take your hand out your pocket. Sneaky little hand wave where no one can see it, but it's just you and God know that it's happening. Yeah. Until one day, this is what happened to me. One day, I just felt the Holy Spirit's whisper to me. And please, I know the Holy Spirit does not speak to you like this, but this is how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Yeah. Thinking about raising my hands in worship, I'm really there. And I don't want to do it. I just felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me, get over yourself. Get over yourself. I thought, yeah, do you know what? It doesn't really matter. Who cares? Who cares if I raise my hands or not? No one cares. This is just an act of surrender from me to God. And so I went for it. It was great. I felt like I was bright red. Yeah, I could feel my face was really hot and warm. And I could feel like the room stopped and everyone was like, Nick's got his hands in the air. No one was doing that. But that's how I felt. But actually, what happens is you get used to it. You get used to it, and you do it, and you do it. And now I don't think about it. I will think about it now that I've talked about it for the last 5 minutes. But I don't think about it. It's just a response from my heart. I don't think about it. And prayer is similar. We don't think about. I don't think about praying out loud now. I will just do it. I have to. I'm a leader. I have to do it. But I don't think about it. Because I understand the importance of it, and what I have done is I've gotten over those little things that I mentioned before. So how do we pray out loud? Oh, the other thing, I didn't say this. I can hear myself, and everyone else can hear me. Yeah, it's okay if I can pray in my head. That's fine. But when you pray out loud, you can hear your own voice, and you're distracted by the sound of your own voice. You're like, you sound so rubbish. Why is your voice so croaky? What is the matter with you? It's just me. I know it's just me. But I'm just sharing some of my issues with you so that you appreciate the amazing things that God has done. First practical thing. God does not care how long you pray. Here's why God does not care how long you pray. Because your words are good, but he can see your heart. And he knows what is in your heart. So do not feel under any pressure to pray a long prayer that is laden with scripture and that has a few hymns woven into it. And just say what is on your heart. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, you are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. I stand in awe of you. I will let my words be few. We're talking to God. Let your words be few. Just say what you need to say. I pray many times during the day. And it's not, I don't find a little corner, go on my knees and spend some time. Here's my prayer. Help me, Jesus. See, that was easy. Three words. Help me, Jesus. I mean those three words. I don't have to go into detail onto here's why I need you to help me and here's where you've helped me before and you've helped other people and these are the specific things that I need you to help me with. There's a time for that. But sometimes, help me, Jesus, is all I need to say. So please do not think that you have to say really long sentences, really complicated things. It is not a competition to see who can say the most. It's really not. And if you feel like it is, that's not good. Don't feel like it is. I was in a church once in a different country where the guy I was with said, I'm taking you to this church because the band is amazing. You will love it. So I thought, great. So we went to this church and the band were playing and I was thinking, I don't think they're amazing. And I looked at him because I was confused. I thought, does he think that this band is amazing? Because they're really not amazing. And I thought, for a moment, he's a little confused. So I kind of just gave him a little side eye to see if he was thinking that this is amazing. And I could see him looking at me at the corner of his eye, near the tear rolling down his cheek, because he thought it was hysterical to tell me that this band was amazing and then to see my face. The reason they weren't amazing, it wasn't because they were terrible musicians. There's about five guitarists in the band, and every one of them wanted to be the last one to play a note in the song. Yeah, so the song ends, and one of them will strum, and that is the end of the song. But no, they all wanted to be the last one. And so the songs would carry on forever because one would strum, then the other would be like, no, I want to be the guy who ends. Strum, strum, strum. And this would go on for ages. But that's not what we do when we pray. It isn't a competition. It's not a competition to see who can say the most or say the best. It is an opportunity for us to say something to God on behalf of someone else. Tip number two, I think. I don't know. I'm lost in my numbers. There's power in agreement. There is power in agreeing with each other in prayer. And I can't agree with you if your prayer is in your head. I'm not that good. It has to come out of your mouth. I can't agree with you. I can't hear what's in your head. And no one else can hear what's in your head. If you want us to agree with you, it has to come out of your mouth. Tip number three, or seven, wherever we're up to. Listen to what other people are praying. It may be that it stirs something up in you and you think, yes, I agree with that. And God starts to do something in you based on what someone else is praying. You've been in those prayer meetings. I certainly have been in those prayer meetings where somebody starts praying for something and somebody else carries on, somebody else carries on, and then the whole thing just kicks off. Why does that happen? Because people are listening to each other and listening to what God is saying. And God sometimes stirs something up in us as we're praying for each other. So listen to what other people are praying and agree. Tip number 15. I'm just making numbers up. You don't have to explain the story behind the reason why you are praying in a prayer meeting. Yep, in a prayer meeting. And this does not happen very often. And I've not encountered it in life church, but I'm just saying. In a prayer meeting, you don't have to tell the story while you are praying. Yeah, you just need to pray. Yeah, it's not Lord. And then I spoke to that guy in Morrison's. And then that can fell off the shelf. And I couldn't believe the can fell off the shelf on the floor. And then, what are you doing? We're talking to God. Let's talk to God. Let's make sure that our prayers, like Sarah's going to tell us about, our prayers go up, not horizontally across to everyone else in the room. Yeah. Sometimes in a prayer meeting, it's like, and again, not happened at Life Church, not since I've been at Life Church anyway, where people are praying. And what you're doing is you're communicating with everyone in the room. You're telling everyone in the room a story. When actually, it is a moment for us to talk to God and agree and believe for something incredible to happen rather than someone disseminating information. We pray up. So speak to Jesus, not to the room. Those are two different things. Number 27. Don't rush to pray. When you're praying for each other, don't rush to pray. Just pause for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, help me here. What is it you want me to really pray about? Because sometimes the things that people say they want prayer for, that's just the tip. And sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to talk about something else and wants to do or deal with something else. So just take a little moment and pause and say, God, what is it you want me to pray about here? Pause and listen. Prayer is not a gift that some people have. Some people are good at praying, and some people are not good at praying. Prayer is a conversation with God. It is us engaging with the divine. It is us saying, God, I need your help here. God, thank you for what you've done. God, speak to me. It is an opportunity for all of us to engage and collaborate with who God is and what he wants to do in us. We bring great encouragement when we pray out loud for each other. We comfort each other. We'll be more effective followers of Jesus when we pray for each other. Charles Spurgeon said this, a prayerful church is a powerful church. A prayerful church is a powerful church. I know that you know most of this stuff, if not all of this stuff already. I feel like I'm just talking to people who understand all of this anyway. And so the majority of what I'm saying is just to encourage us to continue to be a praying church, to continue to be people who pray for each other, who understand the power of prayer, the power that happens when we are open with each other, when we say, can you pray for? Can you pray for? Let me pray for. Yet those are great things to do for each other. Let's be people who recognize that we are little houses of prayer. We are houses of prayer. And so if there are distractions or things inside of you or things that maybe other people have spoken of you, you'll never be able to pray out loud or whatever nonsense that people have said that stops you from being someone who engages in prayer. Do not let the enemy rob you of the incredible blessing that praying brings. The incredible blessing for those that you're praying for, and the incredible blessing for you as you step into a collaboration with God. Because that's what we do. We step into a collaboration with God, and it's you and God. You're saying, God, I need you to do this for my friend, for my brother, for my sister. And you have that moment to really engage with what God wants to do in someone else. And God allows that to happen. What an incredible privilege that is. What an incredible privilege that is. Let's close our eyes for a moment.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.